seagrass meadows play a huge role as a coastal ecosystem in the ocean. They filter out nutrients. They filter out metals. They are a carbon sink. They provide nursery habitats for a diverse amount of species. And now, according to a Manga Bay article, a Mediterranean seagrass filters plastic waste. We're going to find out whether that's good for the seagrass, whether it's good for the ocean, whether it's actually making a difference. But we're also going to be talking about the importance of coastal habitats such as seagrass on today's episode of the Speak Up for the Ocean Blue podcast. Let's start the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Speak Up for the Ocean Blue podcast. I am your host, Andrew Lewin. Today, we're talking about seagrasses. And I'll be honest, I just came off of a clubhouse room that I put on every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern. We went on for about almost 2 hours. I actually had to cut the room a little short today because I thought my dogs got skunked. I was in the room. I was talking to a couple of people. We were having a great conversation. And all of a sudden, I got a whiff of skunk smell in my house. Usually, it doesn't mean that it's a good thing. And my wife and my kids were kind of running back and forth. And I was like, oh, dear, I think my dogs just got skunked. So I left the call early, went to check on them. Luckily, it wasn't them. There was a skunk between my neighbor's house and my house. The dogs were outside. They must have spooked it. It kind of went off, and we got a little bit of a smell of skunk. Luckily, nothing is staying permanent. The dogs didn't get skunked. My night is saved, and I'm able to do this podcast without having skunk smell up your nose. Do you know how bad skunk smell up your nose is? It is absolutely disgusting. And having a dog, a long-haired dog, my husky's a long-haired dog, with skunk breath for 3 months is not something to look forward to, especially during a pandemic where you can't go anywhere. Anyway, in that room, we had great conversations. Started off with Amanda coming back again, you know, talking about microplastics. And we talked about microplastics. We talked about circular economy. We talked about ocean conservation. We talked about San Francisco Bay. We had a great conversation. And it was just everybody was able to contribute. And I want to thank everybody for coming and being able to speak their mind. That's the beauty about being a podcaster and being part of a clubhouse room and being able to moderate a clubhouse room is to hear everybody's perspective. We had people who traveled internationally. We had people, one person was an indigenous woman from Tucson, Arizona. And she was talking about fashion and she was talking about microplastics. And we had another person who was investing in startups and talking about that and talking about how the circular economy and fashion economy is different. We just had just so many people that are just talking, being able to present their thoughts and opinions and experiences. That's what I love about this app. I know I've talked about it a lot, but if you're ever able to come, I have 5 invitations. They gave me some invitations back, which is great. I'll be able to invite you on. Just hit me up on Instagram at Speak Up for Blue. We do a talk every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, and everybody gets their say. That's the whole point, is everybody gets to be a part of the conversation. Whether you've been on for a couple of weeks or you are new to the conversation, everybody gets a chat. So that's what we're hoping to do. It's nice and small. It's nice and it's intimate. I love it. So anyway, you know, one of the things that we talked about on this, when we talked about like bays and San Francisco Bay and stuff, how important coastal habitats are to our environment. And I often think that we don't pay enough attention to them. We pay enough attention to certain ones, like coral reefs. Coral reefs are extremely popular. They're gorgeous. They host a diversity of species. But other habitats that we've talked about on this podcast, mangroves, seagrasses, salt marshes, mudflats, they don't get the same attention, even though they provide similar to maybe better, positives along a coastal habitat, especially if you talk to those at the Progress Seagrass crew out there in the UK, their work with seagrass and bringing the seagrass community together, they would say that seagrasses are better than the coral reefs. We'll have a little bit of a debate on that. That's fine. But today we're talking seagrasses because we talked about coastal ecosystems and how important they are to our security, but also the benefits benefits that they bring. I mentioned at the beginning of the episode in the pre-intro where we talked about the benefits of seagrasses, how they filter out nutrients. They will filter out heavy metals. They stabilize the sediment around a particular habitat where they occur. And they also now, according to this article in Manga Bay News, this Mediterranean seagrass filters out plastics. Now, not just some plastics, they apparently can filter up to 1,500 plastic particles per kilogram of seagrass. The researchers in Spain found that a balled up clumps of fibrous plant were trapping up to this amount, 1,500 plastic particles per kilogram. The organism is called Posidonia oceanica, and it forms a lush, extensive meadows in the Mediterranean's temperate waters at depths down to 40 meters, which is 130 feet deep. And when sampling clusters of these plants from different beaches on the Spanish island of Mallorca in 2018 and 2019, researchers from the University of Barcelona found that they formed natural bundles of fiber. These are known as Neptune balls, and they can catch items of plastic waste. I'm going to put the link in our show notes so that you can go take a look at them. Not only the meadows they have, but they show these bundles and how they actually accumulate the plastic. Like they look like a fibrous ball, and it would catch anything, you know. It catches all these microplastics and these threads and these microfibers, and they just stay there. So what happens is there's an accumulation of this type of material within the seagrass meadow. It kind of falls off as this ball and it goes onto the beaches, and then you can accumulate those on the beaches, which is kind of a nice way to pick it up. Now it says here, thanks to the P. oceanica's long ribbon-like leaves, it may trap nearly 900 million pieces of plastic debris per year, and all without human intervention. So imagine if you're in the Mediterranean, seagrass beds are at the mouth of these estuaries, these large bodies of water that go from rivers to ocean, and all the stuff that's coming from the rivers, all the plastic and the microfibers that's coming from the rivers gets trapped in the seagrass, right? In these Neptune balls. Now that is something that would be an interesting study to see actually how much they actually filter out. Now, in this article, they talk about this is not the solution. We don't take this Mediterranean seagrass and place it all over the world. You know, that's not something that we should do, because it'd be an introduced species and it wouldn't be able to be a good thing. But it's not the only seagrass that does this. There's a finding in China in Zuhu Wang, there's a Chinese scientist led by Zuhu Wang in February 2020 published a study in the Journal of Science Direct showing another seagrass species, Enhalus acodoids, does something similar. Beds of the seagrass off the coast of Henan province in southern China were found to trap microplastics at a rate of 80 to 884 particles per kilogram. So not as much, but still quite a bit, and especially in a very densely populated area in China, which a lot of the areas are densely populated compared to other countries. Now, we don't know what the effects of these microplastics are on the seagrass as a whole. If you think about it from just an anecdotal point of view, you look at these balls actually end up on the beach. They're full of microplastics. Would they stay in the seagrass meadow? Maybe, but some of them that come up on the beach, it's almost like it's getting rid of all the trash or getting rid of all the waste in the seagrass meadow and coming up on the beach. So it might be a way to sort of clear out any kind of waste. But the researchers are worried, and they're a little concerned about what the microplastic might do to the meadow on a long-term standing basis. Like, so not all those Neptune clusters get out into, go out onto the beach. They don't get out of the seagrass meadow. They might get stuck there. And so does that pose a problem long-term from a toxicity point of view with the seagrass meadow? The other thing that they're concerned about is the fact that not every seagrass meadow is going to be able to filter that many plastics. And there's so many microplastics that are getting into the ocean that this is not the only solution to this. Obviously, the best solution and the one we should be focusing on is reducing the amount of plastics that we use. And that goes to us refusing single-use plastics, refusing plastic waste, refusing waste that's just not worth our while. That's what we need to do better as a species, as a population, in order to reduce the amount of plastics that get into the environment, whether it be on land or whether it be in the ocean or whether it be, like we had a talk in today in Clubhouse, whether it be in the atmosphere. And so that is something that we have to do. The plastic problem is massive. But when you look at one of these pictures, it's a plastic debris and seaballs and loose leaves found on the beaches. And it's really interesting because you see this ball, this Neptune ball, and you see sort of these polyimide lines. So it's like this thread that is stuck within part, like within three quarters, I would say, of this Neptune ball, and then it's sticking out the rest. And it's like this blue thread. So imagine seeing that in the ocean, but it can actually come up onto the beach as it separates from the seagrass meadow and goes onto the beach. You see this sort of ball of plant matter, you know, that's wrapping up this plastic so that you can actually get rid of. Now imagine that would be quite the sight, surprising to me, but this happens quite often. So obviously not being able to take up all of the plastic, we still have a problem with plastic, but this is something, another benefit of seagrasses. Now the other thing that we have to worry about is that this seagrass is starting to reduce in the amount of coverage that it has. So there's receding across their range due to threats from climate change, the spread of invasive species, pollution, erosion, and loss of coastal habitats from dredging, trawling, and boat anchoring. Now, we had the people from Richard Lilly, we had a number of people from Project Seagrass on, I think we've had everybody from Project Seagrass on the podcast, and they all talked about, you know, things that were detrimental to seagrass areas. And especially in the Mediterranean, what they know is that boat anchoring is actually one of the worst things, where somebody would anchor right above or keep their boats right above a seagrass meadow, anchor in the seagrass thinking that, hey, it's not on a coral, it's not on a rock, I'm not hitting any living thing, not knowing that these seagrass meadows are nursery habitats for thousands of species. And, you know, they hold a huge abundance of biomass of species within the seagrass. So as that boat anchor is scraped along the seagrass meadow, it destroys and fragments the seagrass meadow, and then it can't recover. And then more and more boats come in, it eventually destroys the seagrass meadow and leaves it just a couple of pieces of seagrass not being obviously properly done. Now trawling, obviously a huge problem. It would just takes up the whole seagrass bed in one fell swoop. Loss of coastal habitats due to dredging. This happens a lot when you have coastal development, whether it be for tourism, whether it be for residential, whether it be for commercial purposes. You know, when you dredge an area, you're taking up the ground, you're removing sediment. When you do that, you remove any coastal habitat that's around there. And you think about it, if this species goes 40 meters, is found as depth of 40 meters, 130 feet, people may not see it. They may just dredge it. And the dredging companies aren't going to say anything, and people aren't going to say anything because they don't see it. So that's something that is of particular importance when you think about putting those together. So there's a lot of problems with that. And of course, climate change is the sort of elephant in the room, let's just say, heating up the ocean, causing a lot of problems for growth, causing a lot of problems for proliferation of seagrass meadows. So that's a big problem. Invasive species, when you have new seagrasses that outcompete other ones, especially with this seagrass, this Mediterranean seagrass being special and being able to hold in microfibers and microplastics, that's something that's really important. You don't want to see loss. So a lot of these threats that are facing seagrass meadows as a cumulative process where you get a number of them in an area, a number of these threats in an area can really destroy a seagrass meadow. And then you get less coverage, you get less benefits, of course, and more plastics, even more plastics out into the ocean, freely available for animals to eat and to disrupt the environment. So these are things that we have to be careful of, but these are species that we need to protect, right? This, you know, we look at seagrass meadows as a habitat, but it's also species, and we need to put in the proper protections in place to make sure that they're implemented to make sure that these seagrass meadows will be around for a long time, which will provide more fish, provide more invertebrates, provide a better and healthier ecosystem and security along the coastline. So that's what I have for today. Thank you, Manga Bay, for doing this. This was written by Bastin Gokun. I think is Gokin? Gokin? I apologize for butchering your name. I'm terrible with these things. But I just want to say thank you for writing this great article. It's nice to see something on an article on a habitat that's not normally written about. And that's what Manga Bay does. They cover the stuff that you don't normally see in the media. And I appreciate that. And that's why I talk about a lot of their articles. I'm not sponsored by them, I promise. I love their stuff. So this is just something I want to share with them. So thank you very much for that. And thank you, listeners, for listening to this. I'd love to hear your opinion on seagrass meadows. You know, what do you think should be done about this to make sure that these Mediterranean seagrasses are protected? Let me know in the Facebook group, speakupforblue.com/group. And of course, if you want to hit me up on Instagram, DM me at speakupforblue. If you also want to connect with me on Twitter, at speakupforblue, TikTok, at speakupforblue. I've been holding on a number of articles to cover and sort of doing a strategy for TikTok and what I want to cover on there in a minute, and of course on Reels in 15 seconds for Instagram. But I want to be able to cover those platforms because I think they're really important. And of course, if you want to hit me up on Clubhouse, just look up Andrew Lewin or look up for the room Speak Up for the Ocean Blue podcast every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Thank you so much for listening to the Speak Up for the Ocean Blue podcast. I really do appreciate it. It's always fun to chat with you, whether you're on Clubhouse or whether you're listening to this podcast where I don't get to hear your voice. But I'd love to hear your voice, maybe not see your faces on Clubhouse because you can't. But eventually one day, maybe we'll meet up sometimes when we're allowed to see each other in person. But regardless, have a great day. We'll talk to you on Friday. You've been listening to Speak Up for the Ocean Blue podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Lewin. And happy conservation.